Hello and good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers Podcast. I'm Kevin Finkel, and this is a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format, where we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am joined here by my co-host and a returning guest.
Hello, everybody. It's Ryan. I'm coming at you from the Tokyo area of Japan.
Hey, everybody. It's Jonathan coming at you from the Ohio area of the United States.
And so if you guys know our show, you know that if we've got Jonathan on, it usually means set review episode. But you might be confused. There's no set to review. So what this episode is related to that. We've gone back and we've listened to our recent last four or five episodes of our set reviews. And we've kind of said, hey, how well did we do? What were the cards that we missed? The cards that we hit? Kind of just a retrospective look at our own podcast, as well as hopefully, you know, bringing up some old ideas. Like when we were like, oh, man, we were really excited about this card back then. But at the time, you know, the number one deck was a combo deck. It was an inverter combo. Mm-hmm. Well, what's new now? So get to take another look at some of these old cards that we either had high expectations for, low expectations for, how well we did, any big egg on our face, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I'm excited. We always talk about this. Like, oh, really? I wonder, you know, what it's going to be like after, you know, the metagame actually, you know, stabilizes. And, you know, it's been, I mean, it's probably like 40 episodes back now. You know, the last time we did one, or sorry, the first one for Pioneer. So I'm really excited to see how our, like, evaluations have changed. And especially mine, because, you know, mine was all garbage. It was hot garbage from those earlier episodes, so. But I think I got some right as well. So I'm ready to jump into this if you guys want to do it.
Yeah, let's go right ahead.
So should we start then? Just kind of just talk in general about, you know, each set. So we have,
So real quick, we're going over what, four?
Yeah, I think we're doing Theros Beyond Death. Then we'll talk about Ikoria. And then M21. And then Zendikar. And
yeah, so we're not going to mention Keldheim because that's kind of just come out. We haven't fully seen the everything work out from that yet. But yeah, I think the last basically year of cards.
Yeah. So a lot of cards.
All of 2020.
Yeah, so it's like over 1,000 cards, I guess. But so let's talk about like what we got wrong. And let's do like what we got wrong first. I think that's interesting. And then we'll say what we got right. Does that sound good?
Yeah. All right. So I recently listened to 21 and Rising, but can you tell us what did we say was best out of Theros and Ikoria here? Start off with Theros for us.
So I re-listened to these recently. So what we got wrong in Theros was, I have a list here. Theros Beyond Death. Let's see. Jonathan was saying that the Archon of Sun's Grace was not going to be a good card. That was the 3/4 Pegasus that makes Pegasus tokens, and
it's pretty accurate.
And I thought that it was good just because, you know, playing, I think I said something about Starfield and Nyx, and then you guys made fun of me for saying the word Starfield and Nyx, and
every time
sounds like Ryan, right? Yeah, but actually, it has seen play one or two in like maybe Jeskai Fires or, you know, like that new Enigma.
Yeah, game, you know, so. I see one copy in the sideboard of the Enigmatic Incarnation deck right now sometimes.
So I just kind of thought that, you know, Jonathan was wrong because he said it was just going to be totally bad. And I'm like, well, it's okay.
Were those my words? Totally bad? Or
he's like, I think he said it's going to be totally unplayable.
Wow.
Yeah.
There is one ofs in Pioneer right now, right?
Yeah.
So how many of the, bannable cards did we call?
I mean, do you want to go over to just the get wrong stuff first? I mean, did Jonathan So Jonathan had Archons of Sun's Grace that he said wasn't going to be good, but I think it was good, so it's kind of wrong. Thassa Deep Dwelling, he thought he was going to be really good with, like, you know, Reflector Mage and stuff like that. That's the Thassa that Blink stuff. It never really took off. Mm-hmm. He was really excited about Whirlwind Denial.
Yeah, that counterspell.
Yeah, but that, again, never really saw any play. And he was also really high on Ox of Agnes, or Agonas, sorry.
Yeah.
So, it was cool modern card, like you said. That's what you were kind of excited about, but never really took off.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Ox of Agonis now is still in decks, right? It's in the Phoenix deck, right?
Is it? Yeah.
As a one of, yeah. And I think it's in another deck too, as a one of, you know? It's definitely not like, it doesn't see like massive amount of play, right?
Yeah.
But like, neither does Archon of Sun's Grace, right?
Yeah, I guess. You're not totally wrong then. So yeah,
I think it's important though, before we keep going, yeah. I think it's important to note, right, that there was some pretty big shakeups in Pioneer since these were recorded, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like our evaluations at the time, like we're gonna go through this for fun and say, oh, you know, did we miss, did we hit, like based on what the metagame is today.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to take into account that we were analyzing these cards based on a metagame that like does not exist anymore at all.
Yeah. And at the same time, we also were looking at cards that we thought were playable, even if they didn't have a deck to be played in at the time as well. So, just in general, we were talking about power level of cards and is this playable? So I guess on those axes, you know, I guess we can kind of evaluate, you know, if it's, you know what I mean, if it was based on that metagame or if it was just based on just overall power level of the card.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, real quick, you know, those are the kind of the cards you thought were really bad. Do you still kind of agree? I mean, like you said, Archons is still a bad card, even though, you know,
I think since then, you know, I've seen it. It's like strength in Standard when it was good in Standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is seen play in different configurations and stuff. So I think it's better than I probably initially thought.
Mm-hmm. And then how about like Thassa's Deep Dwelling and Whirlwind Denial? Why do you think those didn't see play?
So Thassa's, I was kind of charting from Standard, right? Because at the time, Thassa's Deep Dwelling was like the hotness in Standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, Standard is not a far leap from Pioneer. So, you know, this is probably going to be, if it's like so dumb in Standard, it's probably going to see play in Pioneer. Mm-hmm. But it did not. And then the Whirlwind Denial, I was really excited about what it could do in terms of like stopping Planeswalkers from ulting. It really like Hydroid Krasis, right? Mm-hmm. If there was a Hydroid Krasis situation, because it counters the abilities as well. So it's like, you know, one of the problems at the time in Standard was Hydroid Krasis, and I expected Hydroid Krasis to start to see play in Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured, oh, this is a good, like, this is basically a cancel for Hydroid Krasis because it can counter the spell itself and, you know, that ability, that triggered ability or that on-cast ability.
Yeah, that's what I heard you talking about a lot during that episode. And the other one you had was the Ox of Agonis. So, again, do you still kind of feel justified that it's
I think my position there was like, hey, it's going to be great in Modern because there's dredge cards to use with it, and that it could be good in Pioneer given the right meta, because like I still think it's a really powerful card, but I just don't think the cards in Pioneer serve it well.
So you don't feel that it was unjustified, basically?
Yeah, I think it's an open-ended card. I'm still like, I feel open-ended about that. Yeah. Like now, Thassa's Deep Dwelling, like I can close the door there. You know what I mean? I feel like, okay, that didn't work out, or, you know.
It sees the occasional piece. It sees about as much play as Archon does.
Yeah. The Ox, you said? Yeah. Okay.
I was saying Deep Dwelling does.
Or Deep Dwelling, really? Okay. I haven't really seen any Deep Dwelling recently. But anyways, Kevin.
It just turns out I was just super right, I guess.
I mean, again, as far as when I was making these lists and listening to the old things, I was basically just saying, like, you were really excited about it, and it didn't really turn out. So it's not saying that it was, like, totally unplayable, but as far as, like, how much you were hyping it up, I feel like you got that wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's not forget, if there's anything that we're like, oh, this card's going to be terrible and it ends up being great, let's make sure to call those out, too.
Yeah, I think you have some in your pocket for that, so I'm looking forward to getting slammed.
Oh, yeah, a little bit later in the show.
Right on.
So, Kevin, for Theros Beyond Death, for you, you had pretty high on Tectonic Giant, and Shatter the Sky. I wanted that
card to be so good. You know, Shatter ended up seeing quite a bit of play in Standard. I think that we got... when did we get the other better sweepers? You know, it wasn't that long afterwards, but I did like the idea of a white sweeper. Yeah, we eventually got Doomscar.
I just think... I mean, why didn't these succeed?
Tectonic Giant, it'll get there one day.
Yeah.
It'll get there one day. I swear.
Yeah, once you get rid of all the Uro type cards and everything else that's bigger than it, right?
Hey, I still believe.
So yeah, Shatter the Sky doesn't see play because...
You know, really just a mono-white sweeper. Most of the sweeper decks ended up having another color, and there wasn't anything like in Standard where you could have something like a Gideon or something big where you're getting your own draw card.
Yeah, and that's how we talked about it.
Kind of just never found a home. Yeah.
Yeah, we were saying it would be good with like the Gideons and stuff like that, like a control deck.
I want to say I was kind of low on Soulguide Lantern, and I feel like that's a little bit of the product of its time. You know, that ended up being a great card from this set, but I was kind of like, oh, well, you know, we've got Tormod's Crypt that does that better. Yeah. We've got some other things that can do the same job. It ended up, you know, Lurrus is really a big reason, as well as the fact that we had decks like Oops All Spells we really need to exile their whole graveyard. Yeah. So I think that one ended up doing a lot better than I expected, but not for reasons I could have known.
For my list of cards that I got wrong, I mean, should I just read them off, or do you guys want to call me out on
them? Sure, yeah, read a couple of them off.
So my first mistake was saying that I didn't really think that Elspeth Conqueror's Death was going to be any good. And I think that has shown up in a lot of sideboards, and I would say that it's a good card now. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, I saw it as absolutely. A three of in one of these main decks.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think it's definitely a good card, especially with Urion, right?
Yeah, so that's one of the ones I got wrong. Again, I just, you know, I didn't evaluate it correctly. I thought it was too slow, and, you know, I didn't really see any benefits against the fact from the graveyard in white and stuff like that, but I didn't think control. The other big one I got wrong was Thassa's Oracle.
Rip.
I thought like, it's okay, but like, Jonathan's like, no, it's so good. Yeah, so, you know, I didn't think about, you know, how well you could mill yourself. I wasn't really focused on those decks, you know, like Lotus Breach and stuff like that. And Inverter, of course, you know, came about after this. So, yeah, I made a big mistake on Thassa's Oracle. Drag to the Underworld was something I thought would be good. I think that was the Devotion instant speed card that, like, kills a creature or something for, like, 2 mana.
Yeah, it was, like, double black or something.
Yeah, I thought Devotion was
going to be like better. Murder, but, like, if you have Devotion
yeah,
to black,
it's, like, 2 mana. Less. And you guys are saying, Grasp of Darkness is better and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I ended up not seeing any play. So, you know, I got... burned on that one. I think Nylea Keenite actually might have had in my top five. So, yeah, Nylea has seen like zero play. I don't even remember what the Nylea Keenite does, to be honest. I think it's like a...
creatures cost less and you can search. Look at the top card of your like library. Duskwatch Recruiter.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And then the other one was Dream Trawler. I think I said this wasn't good. But I think it actually does see some play.
Never seen a ton of play.
Or maybe I thought it was going to be good. Actually, I think I thought that...
As far as... yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I thought that was going to be good, actually.
As far as things I feel like we missed, I think that we didn't know how good some of these enchantments would be until we got Yorion a little bit later. Like, things like Birth of Miletus... Elspeth's Nightmare, you know, all of the Omen of the Sea, Omen of the Sun, Omen of the Forge have all seen play. And I think that all of those really depended on having something like Yorion around to make them good. And I think that also some of the aggressive creatures, like the Hateful Eidolon and the White Eidolon, the Elseed of whatever, ended up being really good just because of an enchantment stack that we didn't know would turn out.
Well, you say that now, but if we move on to what we got right. If you guys want to do that now. So I guess, you know, when we go over the list of these cards, basically I want you to tell me if you think these cards ended up working out like you thought they would, or were you kind of surprised by how popular they became? So, for example, Jonathan said Alseed of Life's Bounty was going to be a good card. I think you were talking about Boggles or something at the time, or something like that. Right. So, you got that one. You called that one. Do you feel justified? Are you kind of more surprised at how, you know, good it became in Pioneer?
No, I feel like what I see here. I'll just give my list here. Alseeds of Life's Bounty, Heliod the Sun Crowned, Thassa's Oracle, Underworld Breach, Euro, and Soul Guide Lantern. I feel like I was like, all of these were appropriate. Like, my level of excitement or interest in these cards were appropriate. With the exception of Thassa's Oracle, like, I feel like that did surprise me in how good that card is. The card has basically, like, broken formats, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, it's broken in Commander too. Like, and when you have something with a wide, you know, card pool like Commander, and this is the best thing to do in like CDH, you know, it's like, okay, well, this card is like busted beyond what I expected. So like, I think that one surprised me. Euro was obviously just dumb. Everybody knew that, right? And so yeah, I think in the Soul Guide Lantern, I was a big graveyard deck guy, right? And so like that to me, like, oh man, this looked like I was waiting for a card like that for my sideboard. So when I saw it, I was like, okay, this is going to be awesome. And incidentally, like paired with Euro, like, you know, putting the format in a chokehold essentially, you know,
it
worked out well. So yeah, I think I was like, the only one I was surprised by was Thassa's, and it wasn't even really its... Well, I guess it was its dominance in Pioneer. I didn't expect it to be like the top deck, right? And then its dominance in other formats where it's playable, right? It's just really insane card.
So all those other choices justified, but only Thassa's Oracle kind of surprised you more than you thought it would. Because you were excited about all of those. You were like, oh yeah, Heliod Suncran has the combo with Ballista, and Underworld Breach looks really sick. You know, people milling their decks with the Flooding card and stuff like that.
And I think like I think I was like on the right path with that stuff, you know what I mean? Like, some of those turned out to be like the format staples, right? Like the Oracle Inverter combo was like top of the tier, and then under that was Breach, right? With Lotus Field or whatever. And then and the Euro deck was the Sultai deck, right? And like all of that stuff existed once that stuff came on the scene. Now the Alseed's Life Bounty, that like had a flash in the pan with that, you know, the Shram deck, right?
Yeah.
But like, I feel like that's still around today, you know, that's still a strong deck today. And so, maybe it didn't rise to the ranks of these other ones, but it's still a solid role player. Yeah, so
I think so. Kevin, can I go over your list real quick and tell me how you feel about your choices?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you said Archon of Sunscrest. I think you actually were talking about that, and I agreed with you. And again, we just kind of said it was maybe not good.
At least mildly playable. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you were kind of excited about that with, you know, like sagas and stuff like that returning. And you had that. You had you got Elspeth Conquers Death correct. Uro, of course. You were kind of big on Wostrider. I think you said it was like a good upgrade to Nathgal Husk or something. Or maybe I said that. But, you know, it was a better sac outlet. And then you also had Heliod and Underworld Breach.
Yeah.
So did any of these kind of surprise you more than you thought they would?
I think I was not expecting Underworld Breach to get so good so quickly. I was like, oh, this is something in the future is going to break. And we ended up getting it rather quickly. Other than that, yeah, I think that was pretty solid of what I said.
Okay. For me, I had Archons of Sungrace because I agreed with you. I also had Alseed of Life's Bounty, which I agreed with Jonathan when he talked about it. I had Wostrider, of course, I agreed. Uro, Underworld Breach, Heliod. And then I actually also had Thassa's Intervention and Kroxa as the cards that I thought were going to be good. So I feel like I was the only one that was really high on Kroxa at that time, and probably because I like Waste Not. Yeah, so you guys didn't really call Kroxa. So how do you feel about, you know, how do you feel about that?
We didn't have Lurrus at the time. Yeah. How do you feel about Kroxa without Lurrus?
It's still good. I never played it with Lurrus.
I still think it's good. Like, I think for the problem with me with Kroxa was that when you put it against Uro, it just felt so bad. You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh, that's just not as good as Uro in any stretch. So, like, I guess that kind of blindsided me to, like, even just evaluating, because Uro's, like, so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have valued Kroxa against the other cards in the format, not against, like, Uro, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Cause, like,
could be worse. You could be the color white and not even get a Titan.
Huh. No, I feel really validated, you know, about choosing Kroxa. I mean, I mean, I thought it was going to be good, but how good it's gotten now has, you know, of course, that row has really surprised me.
All right. I think that was a pretty good wrap up. Any last minute, like, overall thoughts?
On Theros? I'm good.
Yeah, on Theros.
Yeah, Theros.
All right, then we want to move ahead to the next one, which is Ikoria. So big set here. This is definitely going to be interesting because, you know, when we were looking at at Ikoria, of course, we didn't know that companions would get nerfed in the future. So we were definitely looking at the format with the mind of companions unnerfed. How well do you guys feel like we did?
I remember this being, like, really hard. Like, we couldn't evaluate anything. And this was, like, right when COVID was starting, too. So nobody was really playing decks or playing cards.
Right.
See, I thought we had done a really good job in that I feel like we were very big on all of the companions. Like, we were kind of like, man, I could see homes for each of these. At the time where a lot of people were like, okay, maybe, you know, Luris will see play. Yeah. Maybe some stuff will see other play. We were kind of like, yeah, all of these are insane.
Yeah.
And I think that we got kind of paid off on that big time by we made a lot of good calls on those companions just being insane.
Before the nerf.
Because I think, you know, maybe not in Pioneer alone, but across formats, all 10 of them saw play. Mm-hmm. And that's insane.
So, yeah, I remember being kind of like one of the more reserved ones on the companions in that episode, right? I had a few companions that I thought would be good. And some of them I did not, like, see it coming, you know?
So
you have, like, under what we had wrong, for me, you have Shark Typhoon.
Yeah.
Was I not hot on that card?
Nope. I was the only one that said it might be good.
Wow. RIP. that card is so good, right?
Yeah. You can listen to it yourself if you want to, you know, confirm.
No. I trust you. No. Because it does sound like something like if I, like, probably compared it to, like,
I think you're saying
Decree
like,
of Justice or something like that.
No, you're like, oh, no, you know. It's an EDH card. You know, it's not going to see any play.
Yeah. I was not. But it is huge. It's basically what's in the Dimir decks now as, like, you know,
one of the threats,
right?
Yeah, I think also, Kevin, you got that wrong, Shark Typhoon.
Yeah, I think I was pretty reserved. I was waiting to see what the other pieces of a cycling deck were and not thinking of it just playing it outside of cycling.
Yeah, I think everyone was kind of too focused on, you know, the cycling and getting that counter and not so much on that first ability of getting all of these tokens once it hits the battlefield and...
Well, no. That's not the good part. That you probably focus too much on that and not on the cycling it for a token, because that's the good side.
Well, I mean, both of them are good sides, right? I mean, you're going to use the cycling, you know, more often, I think. But I think for me, when I was choosing it, I was looking more at the 6-mana top side and just being able to play a bunch of spells. And that's why I got it right, because I'm like,
you got it right. So you accidentally stumbled into the right answer.
Yeah, exactly.
For the wrong reason.
Yes, exactly. Right. So yeah, let's go over. Let's do the same thing. So Jonathan, I'll read over the list of cards that you got wrong, and you know, I'll explain kind of what you said because I just listened to it like yesterday, so it's still kind of fresh in my mind. And then you can tell me again why you think, you know, you got them wrong. Like you know, what was the problem? Why? So Shark Typhoon was on your list of things that you know you didn't think were going to be that good. Extinction events you weren't really excited about. You didn't think it was going to be good. Luca. You said you weren't. I don't think you said you kind of liked the Transmogrify effect, but you didn't really see it being a good card. Yadaro, I think you said was gonna be good. That's the 8/8 trample.
Yeah, that's the one you cycle a bunch of times and then put it in play.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish that was a deck.
Wandering Monster. Which one's that?
That's Yadaro Wandering Monster.
Okay, Yadaro. Yeah, sorry. That's one. Sorry, Yadaro Wandering Monster. Okay, sorry. The other one, Emergent Ultimatum, I think you just said you thought all the ultimatums were going to be bad, so I just put that one on there as kind of something you got wrong. And Zerda, the Dawn Waker, I think you said you thought that the activated abilities becoming cheaper was kind of going to become a big thing. and that didn't end up happening. Triumphs, you said, were going to be necessary. They're needed because of, you know, the bad mana in Pioneer, but you didn't think they were going to be that good. You were really high on Lead the Stampede. I think you were saying, you know, to me earlier, that was like on your top five.
What is Lead the Stampede? Can we remember what that
was? I'm looking it up. I don't even remember.
Cards. It's a 3-mana.
Look at the top five cards for 3-mana sorcery. You reveal any number of creatures among them, put them in your hand, the rest in the bottom.
That's
of
your the library. Old elf card.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking.
Right, right.
But, you know, I think that, like, we were saying we want, like, the other one that puts stuff in the graveyard.
If I remember right, I ended up telling you that we had the elf that could look at the top four and find the elves, and you're like, oh, we have that? Okay, maybe this isn't
the He still said it in his top five afterwards, though.
Oh, okay.
He was also
he's holding me to that.
You were also big on.
I should have listened to these. I gotta call. go ahead.
So you were also big on Song of Creation. You know the.
Yep.
You know, keep drawing cards.
I remember. Yep.
And then Riel, the Everwise, you thought might be good in like Phoenix or something like that. So you were kind of excited about that, the discard and whatever. And then also you thought Narset of the Ancient Ways was going to be good. I think that might have actually been in your top five as well. I'm not sure if you have that list.
Yeah, I think it was. I would say, like, the Extinction Event, like, I accept that. Like, I was wrong on that one. It started to be the sweeper of choice for black decks, right?
Mm-hmm.
The exile effect is really good. I just thought, like, the conditionality of it was problematic, but, you know, I missed on that. Luka, I'm still not, like, convinced on the card. I think it's a great commander card. I mean, sure, maybe it sees a little bit of play here and there, unless there's a Luka deck that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, yeah, I wouldn't say that I was wrong on that. Urardo, I don't remember being high on that card, but I do remember thinking it was cool.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't remember thinking, this is going to be good. I just remember being like, oh, this is a cool card. And, you know, I like the fact that you can cycle it and then, like, get it into play. I thought that was, like, a neat engine and maybe, like, something would happen someday. But
I was going to say, you can't blame EDH here because this is, like, something you'd play as a four of, right? This is something that had to be in construction.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, I would think the only way you played as a four of, right? Like,
yeah.
So, ultimatums, I haven't seen ultimatums in Pioneer, but, like, maybe I'm dumb? Like, did I miss that? Or
So, I was going to say, I felt like I did a really good job on ultimatums. So, I think, you know, right now the one that we're seeing a little bit of play is Emergent Ultimatum. There's kind of a deck around it. And I think I had said that that one, you could probably find a combo with it. At the time, it was probably pretty janky. Yeah. But I think it's working out now since we've gotten, like, Omniscience and stuff printed since then.
Okay.
But, you know, Genesis Ultimatum certainly saw play. That saw a lot of play in the Omnath deck when that was popular. Mm-hmm. And that one, I think, I called pretty well. Ruinous only really saw play as a sideboard card in Fire's deck.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same with Inspired Ultimatum. That's the Jeskai one saw play. You know, maybe main deck, but also sideboard in the Jeskai Fire's decks. That one I didn't think was going to be very good, but ended up being okay. And Eerie just never was good for anyone. So I feel like I did a pretty good job calling all of those.
Okay, then I was off then. It sounds like they have, like, I think when the Omnath deck was big, I was not playing Pioneer.
You were not really playing. So that made it into Pioneer.
So, like, it sounds like they have found their way into Pioneer in some capacities. I don't think they're really big at the moment, but yeah, I think that, you know, I was probably wrong on evaluating those, probably looking at them more as, like, commander cards and not, like, options for Pioneer. Zerda, I totally take responsibility. I thought that was going to be better. It just didn't work out. So,
you don't have Triomes, good activated abilities.
We saw a fair amount of, like, creatureless Zerda control, so I don't think that was a failure.
Really? I don't remember that at all. Was that during Ikoria's metagame?
Yeah, that was before the companion nerf. We would see either Zerda or Kahira showing up as a companion for creatureless control decks.
I do remember, like, before the companion nerf, there was a lot of companion decks. Just a bunch of different, like, you know, they were trying everything. So the Triumphs, I thought I was right about. Like, I don't think you're saying I don't think they're good, but they're necessary.
Yeah,
I do think they're necessary. You know, are they not necessary? Or
no, I'm saying they are necessary, but you said they're not going to be that good. But I would say they are good. I mean, you can agree to disagree here, but I still think that, especially, like, the Sultai one and all of them are played in like Niv-Mizzet basically. And then you have a number
of other ones. Yeah, the five color deck, obviously, right?
But you got like Jeskai, you know, Fires playing with Jeskai.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like the mana bases were so bad in Pioneer, still are, that like these are necessary to play. And you need to play them. But like what I would say is like if there were more dual lands,
yeah,
people would probably play less of these because like a dual land might be better. A dual land that comes and play untapped might be better than a Triome.
Yeah. I mean, I was excited about it. I think I was more, I was just higher on the Triumphs. I was like, this is going to be great for control decks or mid-range decks. And I feel justified in saying that. Whereas you
I mean, they are like, great for control and mid-range decks, but that's the problem. It's because of the drawback that they're great for those decks.
Yeah.
They're not greater than an untapped land in those decks, really. You know what I mean? I mean, that could be argued, but, like, in my opinion, you know, they weren't, like, mind-blowing, but they were definitely necessary, and I totally expected them to see play. So, yeah, Lead the Stampede. I don't know what I was thinking with that. I thought, you know, who knows? Moving on. RIP. Song of Creation. There was a deck for a minute with that, but it did not hold. So
it's like Kethis or something, right?
It was like
it's kind of just, you know, a bunch of
it was kind of like, what was that deck? Jeskai Ascendancy? It was kind of like that kind of deck. Yeah. The Everwise, that didn't pan out. I think I saw it in a couple of deck lists, but it never really stuck. And then the Narset I was really wrong on because I did expect that to have quite an impact with the control decks. And it just didn't. It just seemed like Urion was just better, you know, in every way. And I think control decks more like bent toward like Urion builds in those colors, right? And then you have the like Dimir control decks, which, you know, morphed from the Dimir Inverter, right? So you had Dimir Inverter that turned into like Dimir Control, and then you had like these Jeskai control decks, which are more like Urion based and whatnot. So I really just missed. I thought that was going to be much better than it was.
Yeah. Kevin, you want to read your list off?
Ones I haven't talked about already. I'm a little confused on some of the ones you
got. So again, let me just explain like how I made this list, you know, as I was listening to this. Yeah. So Shrike Typhoon, again, I was just really high on this, and you're like, eh, I don't really think it's going to see that much play. You thought that the cycle effect, you know, like you said, you weren't sure that cycling was going to be a thing.
So I know you listed here Winota. I think that's definitely one. I was undersold on Winota. I was trying to figure out how it could actually work, and I think that what I missed is that you could really you can get away with playing like five humans in your deck, and as long as those humans win you the game, it's good.
You
enough.
Said you didn't think there's enough good humans to make it worth playable, and I'm like,
yeah, that's really what I was.
But I was like, oh, but all these goblins and stuff, and you get all these activations. Oh, yeah, I was really excited. I was like the only one that got Winota right there. I think Kahira you thought was gonna be a lot better. You thought there was gonna be a cat deck. I think you said. The generals and
it's tier three, tier two, tier two and a half.
Really? Okay. Obosh, I think that you thought was going to see more play, and
that one I got a huge call right on. That was one people were not sold on at all, and that really did see quite a bit of play.
We were on that. I remember being on that with you, I believe.
Yeah, it did see some play, but I don't think it saw as much play as the other ones. I think you were really, really high on it, and. And, like, it's all some play, but not enough to really be correct. That's my opinion, though, as I was listening.
I definitely feel that was one of my best calls. I felt like people were not at all on that card. Okay. And I said, hey, like, this could be good in just a mono-red burn deck where we are, you know, when you need it, you have it. And when you don't need it, that means that you're a red deck that didn't hit five mana. And that means you're winning the game. So, yeah, I felt like that was a good great call.
General's Enforcer.
General Kudrow. That's definitely a the Enforcer never really saw play. I do think that, you know, Kudrow is doing okay. Humans looks okay as a deck, but human still hasn't quite taken off like we'd like it to.
So that was, I mean, that recently kind of became good, but I think you thought it was gonna be really good, and it never did until recently, like now. And then the other two, we had Fiend Artisan, you were kind of high on, and also Vivian Monster's Advocate.
Yeah, so Vivian never really worked out quite how I might have liked. Fiend Artisan's been okay. You know, it shows up here and there and is never amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where I was on it, is I was saying, like, yeah, it definitely is more awkward than it seems. Like, if it's big, you kind of don't want to use this ability, and if it's not big, then it's not doing anything. So it shows up here and there.
For, you said Fiend Hunter, or say Fiend Artisan, or the...
Fiend Artisan, Vivian? Yeah, yeah, every once in a while.
Okay.
Vivian does not show up, yeah. that was a miss.
You know, it's crazy, because the Winona, I'm thinking back to that time, and like, if we had a discussion about Winona, I would have been off it, I think. I would not have been impressed with that card.
Yeah.
Was I impressed with it? I'm trying to think back, and I think I would have been off it. I would have been like, eh.
No, yeah, you didn't have it on your list. You weren't right or wrong on that one, but I don't think you really commented on it. So. Yeah,
I think I was wrong because, like, I mean, obviously I wasn't wrong during the episode, but in my mind I was like, eh, that card's not going to do anything.
I think if I remember right, I was kind of like, yeah, none of these humans quite do it for me. I was like, they're all interesting to me. I think that all of them saw more play than I thought they would. Like, I never thought Cheville would see any play. I never thought Kinnan would see any play. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if Riel would ever see any play. So, like, all five of these really saw some amount of play. Mm-hmm. And at different points, it was a weird season. I remember during that season being like, man, going back to the spoiler season versus now, like, mm-hmm. I probably was like, okay, Kudrow and Riel are the best. And now I'm like, okay, Kinnan, Winota, and Cheville are the mm-hmm. best. Like, it totally changes throughout.
So, I mean, I
feel like another one we all missed was Zenith Flare being... vaguely playable. I mean, not as much in Pioneer, mm-hmm. but that's definitely a big one.
I was kind of in the same boat with you on the Vivian Monsters Advocate. I was kind of excited about that card and kind of let down that it didn't see any mm-hmm. play. Again, I was a big Timmy mid-range player, and I really wanted them to be good. But again, we didn't really know how badly Uro was just going to like warp and shape things. So,
I don't think that's why. Yeah. That's not why.
Narset's the other one. Again, I thought Jeskai Control was going to be better than it was going to be. I kind of agreed with Jonathan on that, and we both got burned. Gemraiser I thought was actually going to be really good, like a Stompy-type deck, but I just think Stompy decks never really took off. And I think, again, that was probably a bit because of Uro kind of just stopping any kind of, you know, kind of slower beat-down decks because of, you know, the 3 life and the 6-6 body. The Ozolith I had thought was going to be good because, well, I liked Scales. I really like Scales. I think this is before the banning, right? I'm not sure. But I thought that was going to be really good in Scales as a way to kind of like save your tokens, or sorry, save your counters and then put them back on. And then I was also really high on Luminous Broodmoth. I remember we were talking about the combo with that and Kruxa. You know, like bringing it back with Solemnity, but too janky. I think it's a little bit.
It's funny, some of these are pretty great, like, commander choices.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, he calls commander cards pretty well. Like, maybe I should, like, take notes next time we do a show. Go buy out all the Luminous Brood Moths and the Ozoliths.
Oh, man, there you go. So what about things we got right? But other than the companions, which I was already saying we did pretty well on.
Let's just read through these, and you can tell me if you're kind of more... Do you feel vindicated, or were you more surprised with how good it became? So, Jonathan, you thought Heartless Act was probably going to be good. You thought it would be part of, like, the removal package for black decks and stuff like that, or the removal suite. You were really high on Yorion Sky Nomad. You thought that was going to be really good. You also called Spite Dragon... you thought it was going to be good, which recently, I guess, has become good. And then also you were really high on Luris of the Dream Den.
Yeah.
Oh, what a weird card to be high on.
That one, I think that was one of those ones that was kind of obvious, like, oh, this is dumb, right?
Well, how do you feel about Sprite Dragon now?
Like, I feel like I kind of missed on that one. I think, like, those shifts in the metagame might have made some space for it, right? But, like... Most of after that show, I didn't see it show up.
Yeah.
It's showing up now, or think.
Yeah, it's showing up in Blue Red Dragons.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen.
I have yet to see that deck list, but yeah, I think it's like because of the where Pioneer is now, there's probably space for something like that. But I think I was wrong at the time, which is silly that like a card like that. I mean, it gets counters, right? It's plus mm-hmm. one, plus one counters. It's so crazy that a card like that is bad. Like, it's not, like, it's, like, has to find space. Like, you know, I mean, you print that, like, you know, 5 years ago, and it would have just been, like, unstoppable.
Oh, yeah.
Any other comments? You kind of feel like everything else is kind of obvious, you said?
No, I'll take my wins on that. I like, you know, the Urion and the Lurus wins. You know, I'll take those. Yeah.
Kevin, you also had Heartless Act. You thought that would find its way somewhere into Pioneer. Luca, you thought was going to be good. Lurus, of course, you called Gigantha, you thought was going to be good. And also, you also said Sprite Dragon. So, again.
Yeah, you know, I did say all the companions, but I did kind of call earlier, like, yo, Gigantha's just free in so many things. Yeah. And even still, we see him just played as a free card. Yeah.
So you're not too surprised then by, like, Luca and Sprite Dragon? I mean, would you say there's still wins then?
Yeah, I mean, Sprite Dragon's a bit of a miss. I wasn't too high on it, but also, like, I don't think it's great now. Like, it kind of sees play in one deck, and I actually don't mind the versions of Blue-Red Dragons that don't run it, so I'm kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I mean...
The other thing I do think we called pretty early is that none of the, you know, mythics, that cycle of mythic creatures, none of them saw play. The, what are they called? What's that ability? Mutate creatures.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Mutate, yeah.
Yeah, Mutate just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And I think we called that pretty early.
I mean, you were kind of excited about, like, the octopus and stuff like that, but I would.
Yeah, and that one's okay. I know. I feel like I hyped up Haunted Nightmare, and that never went anywhere. Yeah. I don't know if you heard me call out that one.
Right. My list, I said I thought Shark Typhoon was going to be good. I agreed with everybody on Heartless Act. I thought Extinction Event was going to be good because I said Black was sorely needing some kind of wide board exile effect. I was right on Winota just because I was playing like Boros aggro at the time, and I really wanted a card like that to kind of help give me more, more inevitability, more aggressive attacks. Triumphs, I thought I was a lot higher on the Triumphs than you guys were as far as like them being good and playable. I also agreed with everybody on Sprite Dragon and also Lurus. I agreed with everybody on. So... that is Ikoria, unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about.
That sounds good to me.
Want to jump into M21 next?
Oh, yeah, I got to jump right into M21. I'm real glad I went back and listened to this episode before we recorded for today, because I had forgotten Jonathan saying, you guys were both really big on one card, you both put it as your number one on your top five, and I said, no, that's going to see zero play. Jonathan said, hey, if it doesn't see any play, then we need to buy you a hamburger. Okay. And it saw zero play. Do you remember that card, Jonathan?
I don't, but I'm excited. I'm excited. And I guess I owe you
Azusa Lost But Seeking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was not big on that card. I was not.
No. You guys put it as your number one. You were huge on that card. Super excited. I was trying to talk you guys off of it.
Right. Wait. It saw zero play is what you're saying?
It has seen zero play. Yeah, there's been no play as Azusa in Pioneer.
Yeah. I thought there was a mono green deck. Was there not a mono green deck?
Nah, not really.
There was mono green decks. There was a ramp deck. You know, there was an Omnath deck. No, none of it.
Oh, man. It didn't see play in the Omnath deck, huh? Then we're just really not. No, it didn't see really play in the Omnath deck.
That's where you know it.
You know, really you, know you missed. Wow. Yeah, I guess we owe you a hamburger. I can't believe I missed on that. You know, now that you're really jogging my memory here with this, because I do remember having that heated discussion with you about it, and you were like, I was like, how can he say this? Like, wow. How do you feel about that? Feel good?
I'm glad to have called that. I did kind of say like, hey, it sees play in Modern, or it saw play in Modern, but that's just because they've got a weird combination to amulet and bounce things. Like, if you don't have cards in your hand, then Azusa doesn't do anything. So like, what does she do?
Yeah, so I got that wrong. I think I also was really high on Spark Hunter Masticore, just because I hated Teferi and stuff.
Yeah, I wanted
that
to be good too.
So
even when Teferi was around, that didn't see any play though.
So wait, where are we buying you this hamburger? Where is that coming from?
Japan.
What? I don't know. I'll visit Ryan in Japan.
There you go. And this would get a hamburger place. We can have a Gundam.
We could DoorDash. We could DoorDash a burger. Yeah. I mean, we got to pay up, right? We got to pay up. I mean,
there's definitely some misses in this set here.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I got Azusa wrong. I got Spark Hunter Masticore wrong. I would say I got Ghost Pilferer wrong as well. I thought that was going to see play in like Spirits, but I don't think it's seen any play at all. And
Is that the one without flying or the one with
flying? Without flying.
Because I know that one of them... Okay, yeah, that one really didn't see
taps, play. I think. And then I think I had Containment Priest. Would you say that's... Did I get that wrong? I guess that it is kind of wrong, right? It's not really seeing right. any play.
I think we all were hyped on that card, and it just never really had a big effect. It
still seems good. But, yeah.
It does, but it's not.
I think...
Seems good.
So what else did I get? I think I also had like Massacre Worm on there.
Oh yeah, you were big on Massacre Worm. I remember that. And
yeah,
that hadn't really done much.
And I think also I'm probably the one that put Gadrak the Crown Scourge on there. I don't think any of you guys would.
Yeah, and that card's okay. It never really saw much play.
And also Chandra's Incinerator was definitely me. So I got all of those cards wrong, and I think you know. As far as, like, you know, what I got wrong, I thought Burn was going to be better. I thought, yeah, maybe we're just not lacking the enough, like, early Burn spells to make Chandra's Incinerator more playable.
Or the free ones, I think is what we had said during the episode.
Yeah, and, like, for Gadrak, I don't yeah, I thought it was going to be easier to put artifacts into play. I mean, maybe there's still some chance for it in, like, some kind of... Mardu Vehicles deck, if that ever, you know, becomes a thing again. And Massacre Worm, I was betting on more, like, aggro Lord of the Ground decks, and I wasn't, you know, bringing into account it costs 6 mana.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have Gadrak in the sideboard of a mono-red deck that likes to kill everything.
Yeah.
so I can't completely write you off.
Yeah, so I think those are the cards I got
I've got
wrong.
Red control.
But what about you guys? Do you remember any of the other cards that you kind of fell flat on?
Let's see. What did I fall flat on? I don't even remember which one of these I put in there, you know?
You have your top five list?
I don't remember.
So I think...
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think both of us wrote off Elder Gargaroth pretty hard.
I had that in my top five.
I know you had that in your top five. I think we both kind of... we were kind of both down on it, saying, you know, it's a five drop that they can just kill it and does nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I could totally see you being wrong on that.
I think, Kevin, you had Garak's Harbinger in there. You were pretty high on that.
Yeah, and I think that was decently valid. Yeah, I mean, it found its spot. I said it would have one home deck, and that did pretty well. I kind of what I want to say for what I hit right, like I know I'm skipping here, but at the time I kind of said, like, there's a lot in the set that's just not that interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like there wasn't a lot that was going to affect Pioneer, and I feel like that overall was a good call. I also had kind of said that, hey, you know, the top decks at that point, that was when Inverter was a top deck, that was when we had Heliod combo as a top deck, that was when we had Lotus as a top deck, and I kind of said, like, hey, you know, none of the stuff in this set is going to be better than those cards. Like, I don't think that this set's going to do very much, and that was very true. You know, those were still the best decks until they got banned out, and I don't feel like anything in M21, if it had any impact, until after that.
Yeah, looking at our Google Docs, you know, with our list of cards on here, who had 9 lives? Dude, does anybody remember?
You were pretty big on 9 lives, I think. Yeah, I mean, it never was huge, but I think that it's not unplayable. Okay.
Teferi and Master of Time? That's probably you, right, Kevin?
Yeah.
That was me and John.
Yeah, I think I put that on there as well. I'm disappointed with how much play that has actually saw. I think
so. Why
I think,
hasn't seen play?
Why has it not?
Yeah.
I mean, it has, of course, you know, just in like a one of and stuff, but I'm not sure why. I mean, that's a good question. I thought that being able to activate
no card
it,
advantage.
Go ahead.
No card advantage, really.
Yeah, I guess it's a loot effect. Low loyalty, right? Like, it's not doing anything, really.
yeah.
I was, like, enamored with the activate it twice, right? Because it says you can activate loyalty abilities on any player's turn anytime you can do an instant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that means you can activate it twice, I believe. I believe that's what I thought at the time. I don't know if that's true now, but at the time I thought...
I mean, it's still true.
But yeah, you can activate it once on your turn and then once on their turn.
Mm.
Yeah.
So like I was enamored with that. Like, hey, you know, this is going to be, this is like, it's never been on a plane. You've never been able to do that, you know? And when you think about it in Commander, of course, like, it's like, there's three turns before yours, you know?
Nice.
So you're just like loot, you know? And it's like, you know, up to like six loyalty, you know, or seven loyalty. So I think I've carried that over into the Pioneer space. And when you think about it in terms of Pioneer, it didn't fit anywhere. And also, it just doesn't do much to further, like, a game plan, right?
Yeah.
So
where I felt like I missed is that there's a good handful of cards from this set that were kind of just, like, role players that fit in here or there, and none of us called. So none of us talked about Watcher of the Spheres. That's now an integral part of the Blue-White Flyers Spirits deck.
Uh-huh.
We didn't talk about Village Rites. I think that this is where it was first printed.
Reprinted, right?
No, that one's just... Was it? So, okay, that's what I'm trying to remember. Okay, you know what? No, that one was already in... It was in Dominaria, maybe. It? So maybe that has been around.
I mean, I thought it was...
Village Rites has been around.
I thought it was in Innistrad or something. That was the last time, but...
Oh, I see. Wait a second. It might not have been in Pioneer.
No, it was definitely in... It was definitely in Dominaria.
Let's see. It was in... Yeah, Corset 21... No, Village Rites was 21, Corset 21, and then Kalheim.
Oh, really? And Innistrad before that.
Then maybe
right?
I'm right.
Yeah. I think the other one was 2 mana.
That might be right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that was a good one. I felt like Lofty Denial went under our radar as a nice counter spell. Maze Mind Tome is just an awesome card that doesn't see a lot of Pioneer play, but I feel like went under our radar. Llanowar Visionary sees some play. Again, same story there. And then last but not least, you know, Selfless Savior. I actually kind of wrote this off during the episode saying, like, oh, yeah, that dog's not playable, but it's kind of a cool card.
Yeah.
Again, maybe that's just a Lurrus, but Lurrus was out by then, so we should have known that you can just, you know, bring it back every turn with Lurrus and make it a thing.
Mm-hmm. What about right? Things we were right about?
I got Elder Gargaroth.
I got Silver Smoke Ghoul. I know I was right about that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I said that not anything was good, and I was pretty right on that. Yeah, small one, but Thieves Guild Enforcer. I think I was the only one who had any interest in that.
I don't see Ugin on this list. We had to have talked about Ugin, right?
Well, Ugin was already in Pioneer.
Yeah, he was, that's right.
Yeah, so. What about this card, Terror of the Peaks?
Was I big on that? I think
I put that on there.
Yeah, I think you might have been.
Yeah.
I know you guys talked about it, and it hasn't really panned out.
Yeah, I think I missed on that, right?
Yeah, I know I was trying to say, like, there's just so much competition at 5 mana for dragons.
I don't know. Sublime Epiphany saw a little bit of play, right? The 6 mana?
Yeah, there was, like, that temporary... There was that deck at one point, but it never really took off. You know, we kind of missed on Transmogrify being an upgrade to Luka, but again, that's just kind of one deck.
Yeah, we definitely missed that. And I can't believe I missed that because I'm a big Polymorph fan.
I think I was really big on Eliminate, but that, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, we were all, I mean, it was good. I feel like it's since gotten even more eliminated as far as what's good. But we found a spot for it, and it certainly saw play, especially in the... We kind of said that was one of the big things that would go right into the blue-black converter decks.
Cultivate, I think we were big on. You know, we were happy.
Yeah, I was the only one who really called it out, but I am glad that saw a little bit of play.
Now that Uro's gone, it's seeing more play now, especially in the mono green Planeswalkers deck, right? Anything else? I don't know. I can't really think of anything else that... You know, we were really big on it.
Yeah, you know, most of the other stuff we were trying to be like, oh, we're excited about blank. But yeah, I think we were pretty negative during the set review, and I think that it was mostly justified. You know, not the most impactful set as far as Pioneer goes.
Yeah. Move on to our final one. You guys want to talk about Zendikar?
Yeah, our last one's going to be Zendikar Rising. Yeah.
So Zendikar, who wants to start? Should we take a look at the... cards? We had a lot of cards.
Well, I'll start with a big one, is that I might have undersold the Bolt Lands. I don't know. I'll kind of go back and forth between, did I say them too high or did I say them too low? Because I was definitely like, yeah, you know, maybe they'll be great, but maybe they'll be awful. Or like, you don't want to take the three to play them, or do you? I think that I undersold Shatter Skull Smashing during the episode. I tried to say that like everyone was saying this is the best one. And I was kind of like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It ended up seeing the most play anyways. But I do think that Agademes and Turn Timber see a little bit of play. And then, of course, we had the Oops All Spells deck that played all of them, or most of them.
We can't use that anymore.
I think on those lands, like, I underestimated them. I didn't expect them to have such a profound impact on Magic as a whole, you know? They had less of an impact in Pioneer, but they did create that whole archetype with the Oops All Spells, right? And that's a big thing, you know, like it's a big deal that something like that would create an archetype. But I guess as far as like now with the Oops All Spells deck gone, like what, you know what I mean? What sees play?
You see the red one show up a little bit. You see the black one show up a little bit. Yeah. They don't hold
that same, you know, so
respect or price.
That's a very interesting thing, right? Because it's like, they're right now, if you look at the metagame, right, they're not very prevalent, right? Even though they had that whole deck that they spawned, I think we probably, like, rightly, if we were medium on them or medium to low, we probably rightly assessed them for Pioneer, right?
Yeah, maybe that's fair.
I think we rightly assess them for Pioneer, but like I can tell you from like in my own brain, like I was low on them in general, and in Magic they were way more impactful than I expected them to be. As a whole. But when you look at Pioneer, it's like like they didn't really do much there.
I have a quick question. I remember you guys being really high on Seagate Stormcaller. Is my memory bad?
We weren't that high on it. I think I was trying to sell you guys on it, and you weren't really biting. That's the, like, the 2-1 for 2 that when it comes into play, the next instant sorcery you cast 2 or less, you can basically copy it, and it could kick her to do it, like, an extra time.
Right. Like, I was not high on it, and then I saw the Neoform deck.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. But, like, I don't think the Neoform deck did anything, but I thought it was awesome, and I felt like, oh, I didn't consider that, but I wasn't high on it in general.
I'm sad we couldn't do that in Pioneer. I think since Dual Caster Mage, they've been a lot more careful with that kind of effect. Like, if, you know, Lutri specifically says you have to cast it from your hand, if it didn't have, or you have to cast it, I think, and if it didn't have that effect, then this would work.
I remember, Kevin, you were also talking about Glasspool Mimic a lot. You had some cool brews or something you were working on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to call that. I think I was one of the only people big on, at the time, not a lot of people. I think I bought 4 copies of those when it was like, 50 cents and, you know, I don't think it's much more now, but let me quick, do
is
a,
that a, win?
A look up on that one. Cause I know that
it's more than the 50 episode, cents. You guys weren't. You
there we go. I think during the episode, you guys were like, no, that card's not good. And I was like, man, this card's going to be so good. I'm going to go out and buy a bunch of. Yeah, so it's like $350 now. So, you know, maybe if I went and sold them, I profited $12. That's my big call from the set. So I feel like that one, yeah, I had headed my top 5. And, you know, hey, you guys heard it here first. That's a good card.
I think we all got Skyclave Apparition correct. We thought that was going to be in Spirits and stuff. That's a pretty easy one, I believe.
Yeah, and I think I kind of correctly called that it's not really a Spirits card, but it is a good card in white.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the Spirits deck is a Flyers deck, really, at that point.
And I believe I had Shadow's Verdict in my top 5, so I kind of feel like that was a good call. And especially now.
Yeah, what I remember us saying during the episode, or maybe I had said, is that like it's an obvious good card. You know, it's a clear improvement on what we had for Sweepers in Black. You know, maybe it was even better than what we said, but I think that we all kind of called, like, hey, this card's just good, it'll see play. Not too much more to say about it.
I think, that being said, I also had No Priest of Oblivion in my top 5, and that was a bad, bad call.
Yeah, that one hasn't turned out. Maybe one day, you know, maybe we'll have that in Abzan deck one day or something.
It seems sweet. You bring something back to the battlefield, but.
Do you remember what I said about Luminarch Aspirant? I remember being high on it, but I feel like hopefully that was me being correct. Because that card's turned out to be fairly great. You know, it doesn't see a ton of play just because white's not really... doesn't get to be a color in Pioneer, but for the most part, did turn out very well.
That wasn't really on our list, though, was it?
We definitely mentioned it. So I don't recall how deep we went. Let me give some more ones here. One that I know I kind of missed on. I was down on Lotus Cobra. I didn't think that it would see play. And you guys were definitely higher up on that one. I was kind of thinking, like, you know, we've got better dorks at two. This one could just die. And I think I underestimated Omnath, which is definitely a topic we need to talk about. Because I don't think any of us, you know, we were all kind of like, okay, Omnath is cool. It'll see some play. But I feel like that's one of those cards that you kind of have to see it play before you're like, okay, no, yeah, you can really trigger it 2-3 times in a turn without any problem at all.
It wasn't.
And there's just so much extra text on there.
Yeah. It wasn't even in our top list, it looks like, for multicolor. Yeah. So Yasharn, though. You know, Yasharn, I think, is still a good card. Maybe more so in Historic, but I still think it's really good in
Which
Pioneer.
Card? Which card is
Yasharn,
that?
Yasharn, Implacable Earth.
Yeah. Not that excited about
green white's just not that good, but what other cards did we talk about?
I said the Pathways, right?
Yeah.
We definitely said the Pathways.
I think that, you know, it was kind of a gimme, you know, but like there are mana bases that don't run Pathways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I still think as a hit, I almost feel like they turned out better than what we had said because now that we've got all the Pathways, we don't really have to play the check lands, and that makes the Pathways even better then. So
that's a good point. The other one I missed on is Nissa of Shadow Bows.
Same here.
I was high on that card, and I am still high on that card. Every time I buy one in a collection, I put it like in a box because I'm like, this card is good. I don't care what anybody says. And like, you know, okay, it's Pioneer aside. If you even just think about like Muldrotha and EDH, you know, everyone should have a Nissa in their Muldrotha deck in Commander. And like, I think this card is powerful, man. I'm still about it. But it hasn't done anything in Pioneer.
I want to build around it. I mean, it sounds so fun. You get to bring stuff back from your graveyard and you get a loyalty counter whenever you landfall.
You know, another black card that we were all a little too sold on was the Nighthawk Scavenger. That's the like the new, you know, the flying Goyf? Death Touch lifelink. Yeah, the flying Goyf that never really saw any play, not even in the Vampire's deck, not even in the Rogue's deck. So I don't know what it's doing.
It still hasn't really found a spot.
I also missed on Soaring Thought Thief, right?
Yeah, we never really thought that would do much, and that certainly saw some play.
Oh, did it? I had it on top five, but I thought it didn't do anything. Like,
non-zero. I think that Rogues is coming back a little bit right now, just because it's no longer you lose the game if you mill out their Uro.
That's true.
Let me ask you guys a question. I had Magmatic Channeler on my top five. I don't think that's a win. I think that's still wrong. It's not really. It seems playable, and I think it's like a one-off maybe in like the Arcanist decks.
The Arcanist decks or like the black-red mid-range, which hasn't seemed like a great deck to me. It's kind of, I was medium on it, and I think that was probably the right place to be.
Yeah, I think I'm wrong. I always think that's easier to fill your graveyard than it actually is, especially in the types of decks I play that don't play blue.
I've got another one of those that we accidentally kind of walked into unintentionally. It was a Roiling Vortex. We were really high on the like, oh yeah, player casts a spell with no mana. Mm-hmm. And that's not really the ability that matters. It's kind of the your opponent's game life staying in play. That ended up being rather good, especially when Omnath and things were so good. Omnath and
I had that on my original top five list, and you guys talked me out of it.
Gotcha.
Well, you were still would have had it on there for the wrong reason. Yeah. But
Feed the Swarm. Would you say Feed the Swarm is a good call? I know I was excited about it being able to, you know, to destroy enchantments in black.
I probably undersold it. I think that we've found more reasons why black would want to destroy enchantments than we had at the time.
Is it seeing play, though? Like, I haven't, with sideboard, you know? Like,
I played in my sideboard.
Yeah, like sideboard, maybe.
It just seems like the mono black deck is the only one that wants it in the sideboard, if anything, right? Because, like,
maybe like black red mid range if they want to protect their. Yeah, it's not great. I mean,
yeah, I haven't seen it, but like I am not like a, I don't have a compendium, you know, in my brain of all the cards.
There you go.
But yeah, I just don't think it worked out. Like I liked it, you know, but I'm not sure it's like, because a lot of the mono black deck probably doesn't want to mess with that, right? And then, like, I guess you're right. Mono black or black red are, like, the candidates to have that in the sideboard. But then, like, when you get into, like, black green and stuff like that, it's just, like, there's so many other better cards, like Assassin's there's Trophy or whatever. Options.
All right. So, as we kind of wrap up, can you guys just give us, like, give yourself a rating? Like, if you guys are listening to the podcast and you're like, okay, should these people continue listening to our opinions? Like, how good were we?
I mean, I think I was more than 50% correct.
I was going to say, like, a B+. I think we've definitely given good reasoning for a lot of the things we've picked. You know, some of our misses were... you know, we had good intentions for some of our good hits were great hits. And I feel like a lot of our overarching opinions were good. You know, like saying like, hey, all of these cards blank. Those all seem pretty good. I'm going with a B+.
Okay, you said a B+. I thought you said a D+. I was like, wow, harsh.
Nah, B. Yeah. B as in.
I'd give myself like a B-, probably maybe C+. Just because I have too much jank.
I'm not gonna grade myself because here's my opinion. You know, you guys who are listening, okay, you got entertainment value, okay?
Yeah.
Nobody knew, okay? maybe you knew, maybe you didn't. Here's the thing: you got to listen to a podcast about Magic the Gathering. You got that entertainment value. I think you should still listen. You should just keep doing it because what else are you going to do? You're driving to work, you know, you're working on something, sorting cards, writing something. Hey, it's good to have the background noise. Like, you know, I'm not going to grade myself because in reality, nobody
cares,
knows.
Right? Yeah.
Well, if you enjoyed this and more, then listen to more of our content. You can find us at MVG Pioneer is the best place to go to stay up to date with any Pioneer content on Twitter. And also use the hashtag MVG Pioneer for any Pioneer content. If you guys want to give your Twitter information and any other shout outs.
I'm Ryan. You guys can find me at Yoshwenky on Twitter. Yoschwenky. Jonathan, how about you? Anything you want to promote?
Yeah.
Word from your sponsors?
I do want to promote something. I've been doing pack opening streams called Pack Club, kind of like Fight Club, except for it's not rule number one. You don't talk about it since I'm talking about it. Right? But we've been opening packs every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on my Twitch stream. And the way it works is a little bit different than other pack opening streams where I'm not just opening the packs and then keeping the cards. What we're doing is people are pre-ordering the packs. So they order a pack. Mm. I open it for them on stream. We check it out together. And then I ship them the pack in the mail. And so it's called Pack Club. I've been doing it on my stream. So if you want to get more information about that, hit up the stream. It's Medina Streams. So it's twitch.tv/MedinaStreams. All one word, lowercase. And then you can also find me on Twitter, Medina_MTG on Twitter. And I can tell you more about it there. But I've been excited about that. We've been doing it for since December. And we've been doing it every week and on the first of every month. And it has been a freaking blast. People are loving it. We're busting tons and tons. Like sometimes these streams are like 3 hours long of just opening, you know, awesome packs. And last time we did a bonus one on Friday. We did a Time Spiral Remastered, which was just like, man, that set is so freaking cool. So,
speaking of that, you know, my buddy's got like 6 or 7 boxes in Japan. You know how much the Japanese Ponder foil is going for? Buy list? It's like 50,000 yen. It's $500.
$500.
For the Japanese
That doesn't
foil
surprise
Ponder.
Me at all. Does not surprise me at all. Those things are very rare, the foils. Yeah. And the set is very short. Print it.
Mm.
So wait, your friend has Japanese boxes?
He bought Japanese. I mean, we're in Japan, so.
Let's talk. How can I get some of that?
Oh, they're already sold. Yeah. No, but like, one more thing. I'm hoping we can do this again in like another year or so if you're still up for it, Jonathan. You know, come back after our next few set reviews.
Oh, yeah. I love this. I love this kind of stuff. I love seeing where I was wrong or right. It's so cool to like, you know, to like think about that stuff and be like, oh man, you totally missed, you know, or you'd yeah. got that, you nailed it. So yeah. it's a fun podcast. Yeah,
and if you listeners have anything that you hit or miss, you can shout it out to us as well.
All right. So you want to wrap it up then, Kevin?
Yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Jonathan, for being on the show, for joining us for the set reviews, as well as for this review. This was a lot of fun and we appreciate your input. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. This is a podcast that keeps you up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer, your go-to source for Pioneer information online, signing out.